So we're holding on Samach Dalet on the days by the second Mishnah, not the middle of the white line. Okay, so we learned about Chatas Ha'oif. Now we're going to learn in the previous Mishnah. Now we're going to learn about Oilas Ha'oif, and then we're going to start talking about general rules that apply to brood korbanos in general. To recap, one thing is, you know, throughout the Masechta, we've talked about the idea that animal korbanos and also korbanos mincha have four major avos. You have with an animal korban, you have shchita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. And with a korban mincha, you have kmitza, putting it into a kli sharis, holacha, and throwing it onto the fire, haktara. In the case of kmitza, putting it into a keli, putting the kormis into a keli, which is called, the man called kiddush kormis for kli. That's the equivalent of kabbalah of the blood. No. It's the equivalent of kabbalah. Then you have holacha, it's like holacha, and then you're throwing it onto the fire, haktara, which is the equivalent of sprinkling the blood. In the case of brood korban, you only have two major avodas. You have mumlika, which is the equivalent of shchita, and hazah, which is the equivalent of hazah. So we discussed before the possibility that mystery is not an active. The truth is, the Gemara discusses elsewhere. The Gemara discusses in Me'ilah the question of whether the mystery is massive. We'll see that. That'll be relevant. We said it's not, but that's not the universally held opinion. So let's learn our Mishnah, which is a long Mishnah. It's in Mishnayot. It consists of two or three Mishnayot, and then we'll discuss about this issue of mystery. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Oila Sa'oif Kesed Nasid. How did they do that avodah of the Oila Sa'oif? Ola la Kevesh upon the Sa'oif. So it started with the Kohen goes up the Kevesh, turns to the Sa'oif, to the ledge around the Mizeach. He comes to the southeastern corner, which is the first corner that he comes to.
So he goes up the Kiddush.
He turns onto the side ramp. He turns onto the side ramp over there and goes up onto the and goes to the Yisoid. Not all the way to the top of the Mizrach, but he goes to the Soviv, to the Nasi, so the Soviv, which is 3 yamas below the top of the Mizrach.
Right.
So he goes over to that corner because, again, the Oil of Soviv has to be done on the top half of the Mizrach. And he does the southeastern corner, because like we said before, that's closest to the Beis Hamikdash, so that way he doesn't have to throw the Mura that far.
Which is the Kevesh's south.
The Kevesh's south of the Mizeach, so therefore he does it on the southeast corner. If here's the Mizeach, he does it, the Beis Hamikdash is over here, approximately. So he does it by this corner, preferably, and that way he doesn't have that far to throw. If it's too full, then he goes to this corner and does it instead, as we said previously. Okay. He would do malika on the head, on the back of the head, parallel to the neck. Umazil, and he would divide all the way through. So now we mentioned in the case of the chatas, Rashi learned in the previous Mishnah that Einei Mavdil in the case of the chatas meant that you're only supposed to cut through one simon out of the two simonim in the neck. The Rambam learns not. The Rambam learns that you can cut through both simonim, but by a chatas, you're just not supposed to cut all the way through the muscles and the bones and whatever of the neck. The head has to stay attached to the body. Here, when we say umazil, you have the same machloikas. According to Rashi, it would mean that you cut through both simonim, but not necessarily physically separate the head from the neck. And according to the Rambam, it would mean that you actually physically separate them. Okay. Yeah. Umazil. But again, mavdil could just mean that you cut through both simonim. Okay. Because mavdil, in the sense that now it's separated as far as all the simonim. Okay. Umitza dama akira mizbeach, and then he squeezes out the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. So unlike the pachatas, where first he takes the body of it and holds it a distance away from the wall of the mizbeach and squeezes it so it squirts out. Here he presses it against the mizbeach.
Because that
wouldn't matter whether he did hazah as well. It would still amount to the same thing. Either way, the blood would get onto the mizbeach. In fact, we're going to get into later that if with an oila he did it that way, it also would work. But the proper way of doing it with the oila, instead of squeezing it from a distance onto the wall, he presses the body of the bird against the wall, and the blood comes out.
Until the last drop.
Until what? You get out as much as possible. I mean, you're not going to get every drop, but you try to get out. The same thing as a kabbalah with an animal, where you're supposed to try to get as much as possible of the dam and nefesh. You're also supposed to get as much as possible of the blood. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Not the lasarosh. Next.
It's better to spit the blood out, they fight it in the burn afterwards.
Right. In the case of an Ola, nobody's eating it. In the case of Ola, it's all burnt anyway.
Right.
Okay.
But I find in a chicken some blood.
Well, okay, there is that. All right, onwards.
Can it be a Kuzer's trait?
No. It depends, actually. If you have like a blood clot or whatever, you may have an issue because the chicken may have gotten injured and then you have a problem of trachis. That's a whole different, issue. But if it's not a blood clot, if it's just a little bit of blood, then no, it's not, halacha is not considered blood anymore. It's meat juice, basically. We'll learn about that in a whole different discussion, but let's focus right here. Okay. Nothal Sadrosh, next, the Kohen takes the head of the oila. The hikis base malikosulam is there. He presses the part of it, the part where the malika was done, he presses that against the mizbeach, again, in order to squeeze out as much as possible from the head, because you're supposed to do, preferably, with the oila, you get out all the blood possible from the body, and separately also from the head. The soft grain of melech, then the kohen takes the head and uses salt to absorb the blood. Basically, he actually says that sokka means mechanical bemelach. He wipes it off on the salt. There's various piles that we know that all korbanos have to have salt on them. In this case, Rashi says there's a pile of salt on top of the mizbeach. So therefore he dips the head into that, which ends up, therefore the salt ends up absorbing most of the blood, but the main point is that now the head has blood, has salt on it, as a korban is supposed to have. Mizoke, agabia ishim, and then he throws it onto the fire. By the way, there's actually a machloikas among the poshim over here. When we said that he goes onto the soviv, does it actually mean that he turns onto the soviv like he does with a chatas, which is three amas below the top of the mizbeach? The problem with that is, if we're saying that then he goes and throws it onto the fire, is he what? Is he standing on the stove and reaching over the top of the mizbeach and throwing it in? It's not really respectful. That's not derech avoda to do that. So a number of the mafroshim talk about that maybe over here, the stove actually means the walkway for the kohenim around the top of the mizbeach. We learned the other day that there's two types of karakos, one that runs around the middle and one that runs around the top, and the same thing. But it can be in a looser sense called the slope, because it surrounds the mizbeach. It's a walkway that runs all around the top of the mizbeach. So that's how some of the mafroshim learn. Others of the mafroshim learn that no, what it would actually mean is, having done the malika, he picks up the head in his hand, he goes then onto the top of the mizbeach, and then he throws that into the fire, and then he has to go back to where he was on the stove, on the ledge, and continue with the rest of the avodah. So what he would have to do is he'd have to go back from the stove using that little ramp that goes to the main kodesh, or maybe and then he'd go up on the top of the mizbeach.
You mean he would go down around and then up?
Well, maybe he would have to go around, because he said before that in general when you go on the mizbeach, you put on the stove you go around, so maybe yeah.
So the ramp landed on the sofer.
The main ramp goes to the top of the mizbeach. The side ramp goes to the sofer. Yeah.
So how did they walk it? The ramp of the that was landing on the sofer would had to leave some space for the coin to walk past that ramp.
I'm not following. It runs through the sofer, and then you have a different one that runs to the top of the mizbeach. So we don't know the exact shape of it. It's not like we have pictures in those days, but. But here's the side ramp. So what room do you need? You walk on that side ramp and get to the side.
But if you want to avoid the ramp,
then you walk up the main ramp. I don't know. What do you mean if you want to avoid
it? I'm
not understanding why. But let's figure it out later. We probably need a better three-dimensional view of them as they happen to understand. But okay. All right. Onward. Baloi Laguf, the Kohen now returns to deal with the body of the bird. The Heser is a Murah vs. a Noitza vs. B'nai Ame'ayim Ayotimimam. He takes out the Murah, which we discussed briefly before, and we're going to discuss more in our Gemara, means the crop. So the crop is a pouch inside the net. Birds generally swallow their food whole. Like they feed their whatnot. They don't teeth, they don't chew it. So that it goes into the crop, it gets stored and starts getting digested over there, and then eventually it goes down into the gizzard. Animals do not have a crop because they have teeth. In the case of kosher animals, they have four stomachs because they also need to do a lot of digestion of their food. But yeah. All right. Anyway, so he takes out the mura and the noisa, which is the feathers, although we'll see in the Gemara another possibility of what noisa means. There's bnei ami ayin ayotim imam and the rest of the kishkits that come out together with it that are all attached to it. Vishlicham of Beit HaGeshen, he throws that all to the Beit HaGeshen, as we said before. Okay, next thing he does with this Ola Fa'if, Shisa, the next thing he does is he breaks the body of it in half.
He cuts it open.
Yeah, he cuts it open the neck. No, he cuts it open
the top. Oh, he uses the knife.
Okay, we'll see okay. Later. So he does the shita with his hand. But yeah. Okay, having taken out the mura and everything, the next thing he does is shisa. He takes the body of the bird and breaks it in half. For what he gives you, he doesn't have to break it back to separate the two pieces. But if he did separate them, it is still kosher. And because again, when the Pasuk says Vishita oyster the knuff of Lo Yavdil, again, the Rambam talks about in the Shershim of Sefer HaMitzvot, I mentioned yesterday, that not always when the Torah says Loy something, it doesn't always mean don't do it, sometimes it means you don't have to do it. And in this case, this is one of them. Vishita oyster the knuff of Lo Yavdil means he doesn't have to break it in half. But if he did, it's still kosher. As opposed to when it says about Chassas, that he does malika v'lo yavdil. There we're actually going to have a later machlokas whether it means he's not allowed to divide, and if he does, the head from the body, and if he does, it's possible, or whether it just means he doesn't have to. But if he does, it's kosher. And then I'm upset. Here we're talking about the body of the oila. Here we're talking about the body. There were one side from the other. There we're talking about the head from the body in the case of a chassa. Okay. Fine.
So
she means to separate. Right. So he separates it, but just complete.
Combined.
Means yeah. Okay.
That's what it literally means.
Okay. That's spelled differently, but like Vishesha Shesha Parasa, like an animal that I split over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then, okay, so he does that, the Lohivdil, the Inhivdil Kosher. Next, so he's the Melach. Again, he wipes it on the pile of salt over there to absorb the blood. And because it has to have blood on it, the Zorke Agabe Ishim, he throws the body onto the fire, and that's the end of the Korban. Okay, what about Loy Hester Amura Valayam? What about if he didn't take out the crop and the feathers that go with it and the kishkis that go along with it? The Loy Sakur Melach, or he didn't put salt on the, or he didn't put salt onto the body. Doesn't matter. Kol Shashina Baba Akash Amisa Zama, anything that he did differently after squeezing out the blood onto the Mizbeah, Kshera, the korban is still kosher, for the same reason as with animal korban. Once the matir, which is the blood, is taken care of, then the rest of it is only the mitzvah that's supposed to be done that way, but it's not the act of the kashrus for the korban. Continues the Mishnah. Hivdil b'chassos, if he divided the head from the body when it comes to the chassos, and we said in the previous Mishnah he's not supposed to, because the pasuk says v'lo yavdil, v'lo hivdil b'ola, or if he did not separate the head from the body when it comes to an ola, or according to Rashi, if he didn't cut through both the morning with an ola, pasul, then the korban is pasul. These are things that happen before the hazar, before the mystery, therefore they're massive. Misa dama rosh v'lo misa dama guf, what if he only squeezed out onto the mizbeach the blood from the head of the bird, but not from the guf? Sulam, the korban is possible because the main blood is what comes from the body. You have more blood there. The other way around, dama guf, well, I missed the dama rosh. If he squeezed out from the body but not the head, then okay, it's kosher. He didn't do it the right way because he's supposed to squeeze out from the head also, but most of the blood is in the body and therefore he accomplished the main part of the mitzvah. Okay. Now we got to talk about the dinim going back to the dinim of lishma and shalei lishma that we dealt with at so much earlier in the session. We said all the way at the beginning of the Masechta that when a chassas and a korban pesach are the only two korbanos according to the chachamim, which is the halacha, where if they're done shalom l'shman then they're possible. So that's true of a chassas behemah. It's true of a chassas mincha. And now we're going to see it's also true of a chassas oif. The chassas oif shemolka shalom l'shman. So if a person, the koyan does a malika of the chassas oif shalom l'shman, having in mind it's a different korban. Or misa dama shalom l'shma, or he squeezed out the blood onto the mizbeach, which again is the equivalent of the zrika, the second avodah by it, and he did it shalom l'shma, or l'shma v'shalom l'shma, or he did it partially l'shma, partially shalom l'shma, or shalom l'shma v'lishma, or to begin with l'shma and later on, or to begin with shalom l'shma and later on l'shma, possible, then the korban is possible, same as if an animal happens.
We have a question whether it's not true or not, then he says.
Well, so now, thank you for reminding me of that, because actually, So that it really depends then. Choice just talks about that, it's not over here, but elsewhere, Choice just talks about it really depends on the question whether mystery is ma'aseh. Thank you, I almost forgot that. If we say that mystery is considered part of the hazah, therefore it's ma'aseh, in other words, again, by a concept of hazah, and then you have mystery, then the mishnah means exactly what it sounds like. If you didn't do this, you did the mystery. If you say that not, then you have to say that when the mishnah uses the word mystery, it's using it in a looser sense, and really what it means is the hazah. The spritzing out the blood from afar that you do with the chassid. So that's the point. That's the second avodah, the same way as we said earlier in the mishnah, so that any of the four avodahs by an animal carbon. So here we have to say the two avodahs by a bird carbon. In fact, the Gemara in Me'ilah that talks about this question whether the mystery is massive or not. And in fact, the Gemara talks about over there that here when we're talking about later on in the mishnah, when you talk about the dinner of pigul and we use the word mista, both in connection with the Ola and in connection with the Chassas, that if we say mystery by the Chassas is not ma'akev, all you need is Hazah, then it would mean that the word mystery is being used like in a double sense, sort of. It's being used to mean Hazah when it comes to the Chassas and mystery when it comes to the Ola. It's not in Kampani, the Gemara has this expression in Me'ilah. Okay, but it's a possible way to do it. That you can use the word mystery to mean the whatever it means generically, the way on which the blood of this particular korban is supposed to reach the mizbeach, which in the case of a chasas is hazar, and in the case of an oila is mystery. Okay. Fine. Okay. So with a chasas to oif, if we did it l'shma, shaloi l'shma, or if we did it partially shaloi l'shma, then we said it's possible. Really, the rest of the Mishnah, most of the rest of the Mishnah that we're going to have over here is repeating ideas that we had earlier in the Masechta concerning animal korbanos. And in fact, Tosfos asks later on why the Mishnah even does that. We need to stress that these dinim apply to bird korbanos as well, I guess. Okay. Olas to oif sheira. In the case of an olas to oif, if you did any of these two avodas shaloi l'shma sheira, then as would be the case with an ola of an animal, then it's kosher. If you did an ola to oif shaloi l'shma. But it doesn't count for the owner's chayv, and he has to bring another oil. Okay. Now let's talk about the dinim of pigul and other psulim. Echad chatas ha'oif to echad oila ha'oif. Now, again, shaloi l'shma refers only to a chatas, or it has different applications by the chatas and by the oila. The rest of the dinim that we're going to talk about are the same by a chatas and by an oila, same as they were with animals, for honest. So echad chachas ha'oif echad ha'ola ha'oif from Morkon, which is mitzvah daman. If you did the mulika or the mitzui, which again by the chachas we may mean only the hazar rather than the mitzui, lechol davar shadakel lechol, having in mind that he's going to eat something which is normally eaten. In the case of the chachas, that would be the whole bird, or the hafto davar shadakel lechol, or to burn the thing that's normally burnt. In the case of the ola, that's the whole thing. If he has in mind that he's going to do any of those things outside the Azara, possible that in the Kharis, the Kharis is possible, but there's no Kharis for eating it, as usual. If he has in mind that he's going to do any of these things, and as usual, provided that the Masir, which is the dam, is done without any other soul being involved with it. Not just the dam, but the two of us. Case of Torah of a Master from its Mitzvah. So how do you have, what does it mean that the Master was done according to his Mitzvah? As we said before, Moloch the Shitika, so he did the Melika quietly, not having any thought of soul in mind. Umitza Adam Chutzuz Mane, and then when he did the mystery of the blood, he has in mind that he's going to eat or burn it Chutzuz Mane. Or Shemoloch Chutzuz Mane, Umitza Adam the Shitika, he did Melika with thought of Chutzuz Mane and did the mystery quietly. Or he did both of them with four chutzmanos.
So the
man down
says
shtika means it depends. If you say that he has to say it, then it means quietly. If you say it means thinking it, it means without thinking it. And it's bottom of some of that already. So then, Zeru Shekhorev HaMatzah from Mitzvotah, in all those cases, the Matzah has been done according to its mitzvah, meaning, in other words, no other psul has been involved with it other than the psul of Shalom Zman, of Chutz Zmanoi, therefore it's pigul. And of course, we had Machlokes earlier in the Sefta about the whole issue of, does it become pigul if you had two Machshavas within the same Avodah, or is it only if you had one Machshavah in one Avodah and a different one in a different Avodah? We went through all of that earlier in the Sefta back in the second paragraph concerning pigul.
Let me explain what pickle is. You know what pickle is? Okay, now if you thought that you're going to eat it,
after the Zman. You're going to burn it after the Zman.
And then if you eat it even in the Zman, the person has paper.
It is high product. It's high product. Okay. Case of loy kod of a master can be supposed to. Where do you have the case where the master has not been brought properly? Molak chuslum koma. If you did the malika having in mind chuslum koma, then you're going to eat it or burn it outside the azara. Mitzah adam chuslum mane. And then he did the mystery with the thought of chuslum mane. So now you have stool and pigul mixed together in the different avodas. Osha molak chuslum mane, mitzah adam chuslum koma, or the other way around. Osha molak mitzah adam chuslum koma. Or he did both of them with the thought of chuslum koma. Now obviously that one, there's no thought of chuslum mane at all. Of course it's not pigul, but once we're mentioning all the other possibilities, we mention that one as well. Or chatas ha'oiv shemolka shaloi l'shmo mitzad adam chutzis manos. Right? Or in the case of a chatas ha'oiv, where we said by a chatas, we said that shaloi l'shmo passes it. So therefore, if he did the malika having in mind shaloi l'shmo, that is a different korban. Or mitzad adam chutzis manos, and then he did the mystery, or the hazar, as the case may be, having in mind that he's going to eat it, that he's going to eat it chutzis manos. Or shemolak chutzis manos mitzad adam shaloi l'shmo. Or he did the malika having in mind chutzis manos, which would make it pigle. And then he does the mitzui shaloi l'shmo, which now takes away from the pigle and makes it instead possible. Or shemolak mitzad adam shaloi l'shmo. Or he did both of them shaloi l'shmo. So shaloi kod of a matzik mitzvah. Say there you have that the matzik was not brought with the in the proper way, meaning that you have a different psul mixed in there with the psul of pigle, with the psul of chutzis manos. Therefore it's not pigle. It's only possible, right? Same as with animal korbanos. Same as we dealt with earlier in the second.
Again, we wouldn't have to repeat that,
but right. The Tosfos asked why we're repeating it, but okay. Yeah. I mean, you have the same kind of repetition you find also in Menachos. You have a number of times when I talked about over there about the various kinds of korbanos mincha, because you have the whole concept of pigle applies to Menachos as well. So, yeah. Okay. That's the same conclusion.
The Tosfos is asking why we're repeating it.
The Tosfos is asking why we're repeating it.
That's a real good question.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Onward. Lechol kazayis b'chutz kazayis b'mocher. What about if he has in mind that he's going to eat a kazayis outside the azara and another kazayis tomorrow, which is chutz b'mocher? And again, we have the same, subject to the same machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechta also, whether we're talking about that he had these two thoughts within one avoda, or are we talking about in one avoda he thought of chutz b'mocher and in the other one he thought of chutz b'mocher? Or he has in mind eat a half kazayis outside and a half kazayis tomorrow. Or kachasizayis b'mocha, kachasizayis b'chutz. Or the other way around, a half kazayis tomorrow, which is again, a half kazayis is not enough to make a pigle, and a half kazayis b'chutz. All those possible, the Enbe Chorus, all those are possible, and there's no Chorus, so either there's another Kazayas involved, and therefore there's another Psul, or there's no full Kazayas of, or there's no full Kazayas of Pickle.
Did we say if he did one Kazayas with mine and one Kazayas with Koin, that it's also possible and it's not Pickle?
Yes, but we said it depends. We said there was a machlokas on the subject. Does that mean that he had in mind during one avoda, during the melitta, let's say, that he's going to be doing a kazayis lamacher and kazayis b'chutz, or does it mean that he had in mind one during one avoda and one during the other avoda? Right.
But whatever which way they hold, that is pickle and not pickle.
And not pickle because you have another psul involved.
You ruin your pickle has to be perfect from beginning to end.
Right. Exactly. Pigle, and then pigle is when there's only pigle and nothing else mixed in. And then when in the case is involving kachasi zayis, then it's a different matter because then you don't have a full kazayis of pigle.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And again, you have the same machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechta, where Rabbi Yehuda comes in and says differently. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Zachval. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The rule is as follows. Depends which machshava came first. No, well, he means this is how the halacha is according to him. The halacha is not, in fact, like him. Which I'm not sure, by the way, why you have the bays over here, because the halacha is not licensed. I'm not sure why ein mishpat ne'er mitzvah. See, that's a common thing. They have a stam mishnah and they have a machlokes. But. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Zachval, im machshavas hazman kodma lo machshavas hamakim. If the machshavas hazman came before the machshavas hamakim, then it becomes pigul. Once it became pigul through the machshavas hazman, then the machshavas hamakim doesn't take that away. But if the thought of the mokum that he's going to eat it outside the azara came before the machshavas man, possible angry chorus. the Chachamim Maimim and the Chachamim Seil. So as we said in the earlier in the Masechta, Zev Zev Chosol, and by Karis, either way, it's Chosol and there's no Karis. Which again, we said over there on the face of it, the Chachamim are repeating what the Tanakhama says. So either what it means is because they may be arguing with the Tanakhama on the question of if you had in mind the two different things within one avodah, whether that's Hegel or not. Or we said the other possibility is the reason why the Mishnah repeats it is in order to establish that the halacha is like that. That you shouldn't think you have a stam Mishnah. Sometimes you have a stam Mishnah and then a machlok, the halacha, it means the halacha is not like the stam Mishnah, so therefore we repeat again, but in Mekaris, in order to establish that we have a stam Mishnah, that the halacha is in fact like that. Okay. And then we have the last case, again, parallel to what we had with animals. Lecho kachazizayis, lahakis kachazizayis. He had in mind that he's going to eat a half a kazayis of it, chutzpah's manos, and brewing a half a kazayis of it, chutzpah's manos, it's kosher, and for that matter, if he has those two sources of chutzpah makobah, then it's completely kosher, chain achil of akhtorim and tarsim, because eating and brewing don't combine to make up a kazayis.
I know I am baked here. You get all the baked and gimel on the same halacha of the Rambam, and so it's just one halacha that covers all topics.
I understand, but the fact is, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda that im machshevet as man kodme, et cetera, so I'm not sure why it was noted, but okay, anyway. The halacha is like the chachamim, that doesn't matter what order they were in, as long as you don't have a perfect table, as long as you have chutzpah mano, chutzpah makoimo, or shloi d'shmo, or whatever mixed in, then it's not table. Okay. A number of the achronim asked the question, how do you have a case over here? We learned earlier in the Masechta that we, according to the Chachamim anyway, we said we're the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, but according to the Chachamim, if you have in mind that you're going to eat something which is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, or vice versa, that you're going to burn on the Mizbeach something that's going to be eaten, then it's not considered table. The concept of Achila versus Aksore is only Lechol Dover Shadaka Lechol, or Lahakir Dover Shadaka Lahakir. You have in mind to eat what's normally eaten, or to burn what's normally burned. Now here, with an Oil of the Oif and a Chakla Sa'if, an Oil of the Oif, you don't eat any of it, the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. With a chakas ha'oif, you don't burn any of it. The whole thing is eaten by the kohenim. So where is there a case? Where are you going to have to eat a half a kazayas and to burn a half a kazayas? It's either one or the other. So a number of the achronim give different answers on it. First of all, our Mishnah might be saying, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's not the Tzaddik Rabbi Eliezer who said that you could interchange them. It could be one of the acronym, I think it's the Spatemis, gives an answer. Even let's say, for example, now you have typically when you bring a chatas ha'oif, you're usually bringing an oil of ha'oif with it as well. And in fact, you know, the Eben Ezra, in fact, says on the plastic when it talks about the korban oil of yodid. So what do you have? A person has to bring a korban oil of yodid. If they can afford it, they bring a sheep or a goat. If they can't, then they bring two birds, one for a chatas, one for an oil. And if they can't, then they bring a minsa. So the Eben Ezra asks over there, what's the logic? Why if the guy is in the middle over there, why is he bringing a chatas and an oila when each of the other cases only bring a chatas? And he says the reason is, since we're saying over here, a chatas, nothing of it goes on the mizbeach except the blood. An oila, the whole thing goes on the mizbeach. The kohenim don't eat any of it. So you want to have a blend. You want to have, like, if it were an animal korban, you would have some of it goes on the mizbeach and some goes to the kohenim. If it were a mincha, same thing. So therefore, by the birds, so therefore, the point is, you would think, therefore, that maybe the oila and the chatas combined together, that if you had a thought of pigle on one, on half a kazayas of one, and a thought of pigle on a half a kazayas of the other, maybe they should be mitzvahed. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not. And the Ur Sameach gives yet another, also a brilliant answer. He says, you have to ask, when you're pouring the shirayim of blood of a korban on the mizbeach, or in this case, when you're squeezing out the blood from the bird, is it possible that maybe you have to have, maybe there's a minimum amount that's considered shirayim. Maybe that minimum amount is a kazayim. In that case, then you can be talking about having in mind the acid that you're gonna pour out a half a kazayas of blood and eat a half a kazayas from the he argues that maybe you could say maybe from our mission it implies that the minimum amount for it to be considered shvichas shirayim as a kazayas. So in that case, you could be talking about having in mind to pour out a half a kazayas of the blood of the bird and then to eat a half a kazayas of the meat of it. In the case of a chatas. I'll explain.
Yeah, one day.
All right, fine. Let's start the model.
I like the other one. I got
okay.
That one.
Turn it up on him. We learn in a blaster. Now, the pasuk describes that a person is bringing a bird as an oiler. So the pasuk says that the person brings a korban, the hikri is minatorim, onion b'nei hayona korban, right? And then the pasuk continues, the next pasuk continues, the hikriva yakoyen el amizveah. The koyen should bring it close to the mizveah. So matam adlaiman. Why the repetition? We know obviously the koyen has to do it. Especially because it continues, that the koyen does malika. And what is the hikriva adding? So like this, Lafisha Nema, since you have the previous pasuk says, vehikrid min asferim oimin b'nei ayona, the pasuk says that a person brings a korban from the turtle dove, or from the young pigeon, that's the plural. Yachol ha-misnadiv oifla yifrit mishnei kridin. Maybe you would think a person is bringing a korban oila as an adava, it has to be at least two birds. Maybe one is not enough to be considered a korban. No, Talmud Lomar, v'hikriv boy. Therefore, the pasuk says that that the Kohen is matter of it, instead of v'hikriv boy, meaning after the pridach. There can even be one bird. After the pridach of yavi, a person can bring even one single bird, and that's a valid carbon.
That's called
prida. Prida, that's the word for it in Gemara terminology. Prida, I guess, is a generic word for a bird. As opposed to instead, the Torah mentions in general that you bring some oif, and then you have specifically Torah and Bnei Yonah. So in Gemara terminology, the word that they use generically for the Torah and Bnei Yonah is Frida. Okay. Fine. Then it says, El HaMizbeach. Okay, so after the Pridach, if Yavi El HaMizbeach, you can bring even one Frida to the Mizbeach. That's the point of the Hikri voice, El HaMizbeach. Okay. What about the passage says, now, why does it say the Kribe HaKoyin El HaMizbeach? Given that the next thing is a Molach, the Koyin doesn't Molicha. So it's like this, exactly that. It's not so obvious. Look, Boy Aloy Koyin. The Pasuk wants to tell you that Davka Koyin has to do the Molicha. And you need that because Shiyachol Baloy Dinu, because you would think to make a Kavachoymer as follows. Uma ben sign shekavalei sofen madach, when it comes to a sheep, which is described earlier in the psukim, where you bring an ola, the Torah specifically says it has to be shechted in the north, as was discussed in the previous parak. Loy kavalei koyin, but the Torah does not insist that a koyin shechts it. Shchita ksheira bizar. So then, oif shalei kavalei sofen, so then a bird where there's not even the requirement that you have to do it in the north, as we said before, that a bird can, the malika can be done anywhere in the azara. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that you shouldn't require a koyin for the malika? Anybody should be able to do it. Therefore, Talmud Lomar el hakoyin l'kvoya lo koyin. Therefore, the pasuk says that you bring it to the koyin, not el hakoyin, but rather the kriba hakoyin. Therefore, it says hakoyin l'kvoya lo koyin to establish that it must be a koyin who does the malika. You can't have a zorju.
One second. How can a non-koyin do it when you have to do the mitzvah and also the...
Forget the mitzvah. So why? You can say...
Why?
Says who? The same way as the shechting an animal. You shech the animal, you take the blood in the kabbalah of elach mitzvah korona, the kohen is the one receiving it in the basin and walking over to the mizbeach. So the same thing over here. No, it doesn't have to do with the basin. But the point is still the same thing. You could have so we'll see later. You have a point, and we'll talk later about Rabbi Akiva's tomorrow. Wait, but on the basin. Wait and you'll see.
But you have to do it close to the mizbeach.
Yes, we'll see. But yes, on the face of it, therefore, so far the Braita is saying that you actually need a pasuk to tell us, because otherwise you could have thought that a zohar will do it. And we talked about the other day that I think the razor, I think it's the razor, Masech Tekinin, learns that actually when we say that malicha can be done anywhere, it literally means anywhere. It could be done elsewhere in the azor. It doesn't have to be done next to the mizbeach necessarily. Practically speaking, they'd want to do it next to the mizbeach so the blood doesn't start going everywhere by the time they're able to do the azor or the mystery, as the case may be. But instinctively, it could be done anywhere. So therefore, you need to tell you that it should have to be done by the kohen. Okay. Next, you would think that maybe the malika should be done with a knife, similar to shrita. And again, you could argue by a kavachayim of a dinu. Uma in shchita shalai kavala koyen kavala kli. Again, madach the shchita of an animal, where it's not required for it to be done by a koyen, but the Torah does insist that it be done with a knife. And we'll learn later in the Masechta, and the Tzaddik, we'll learn where exactly we know that from. We learn it actually from the Akedah. When I said we say every day in davening, in Parashat Akedah, we say that Avraham took at the machelas, we learn from that that shchita of a korban requires a kedah. We talked about briefly, Tosfos had talked about earlier, and in the fact that the question is possible, do you necessarily need a keli that could be a klisharei? Is it possible that maybe you could use a wooden
right.
keli or whatever? But anyway, the point is that you need some kind of keli. So melika shekava lakoyin, so melika, which is stronger, because you require a koyin for it, as we just said, ein yadin sheyishba lakli. Shouldn't it be a kava choymer that it requires a keli? Now, Talmud Lomar, Koyen u'molak, therefore the prophet says that you bring it to the Koyen and u'molak, and he does Malika, which means that the Koyen, that means the Malika has to be done with the Koyen's actual body.
Amar Rav Akiva. When you say that the Koyen doesn't,
it
means the Koyen and
not the Israel. But it has a double meaning. It means, in other words, it means that the Koyen...
You're proving the point that they're subject.
No. It means, in other words, we're taking the word hakoyin and using it in a certain sense. We're using it in two senses. Number one, to teach us that it has to be a koyin and not anybody else. And number two, that it has to be done with the body of the koyin, meaning with his own thing.
Number one.
Well, okay, so that's the Omer Rav Akiva. So Rav Akiva says, and actually Rashi says, we're not talking about, according to Rashi, we're not talking about two different opinions over here. The Braisa was starting to say, Rav Akiva explained the Limud, and now he's explaining the underlying Svara. Amar Rav Akiva, v'chit pala al daitcha shezor korv l'gabe mizbeach. How could you possibly think that a zor could come close to the mizbeach? Obviously, that was your point, yes. Obviously, if the melika has to be done close to the mizbeach, then of necessity, it has to be a koyin. Ela matam alam a koyin, shetei melika ba'asma shor koyin. It means the melika has to be done with the body of the koyin. So according to Rashi, we don't really have two opinions over here. We actually have the whole Braita is Rav Akiva. First, he's explaining how we learn from the Pesukim, and then he's explaining what the logic, why, how we're able to learn two things from the word Hakoyim.
It's not a Kavachomer. It's like a Lima Mina.
Yeah.
Word that you wouldn't need.
Right.
Extra word.
So therefore, right, from the word koyin itself, you can learn that it has to be melika ba'asmish or koyin, and the fact that, so therefore, you can, effectively, you can learn both things. Some of the Mephoshim learn that not. Some of the Mephoshim would say that what it means is that the Tanakama of the Braita is saying that you do need two limudim, that you're first learning that it has to be a koyin, and then learning once you know that it's a koyin, then it has to be ba'asmish or koyin. And Rav Akiva is arguing, all you need is a limud that's ba'asmish or koyin. The fact that it has to be a koyin, that you can learn from the obvious fact that a zor doesn't come close to them. Okay. Fine. Continues the Braisa. Yochol yim lekena ben milamayla ben milamata. You would think you could do the melika wherever you want. You could do it at the top half of the mizbeach. You could do it at the bottom half. No, Talmud Lomar. This is the Braisa. Again, according to Rashi, the whole Braisa is according to Rav Akiva. But this part, everybody agrees to anyway. So yochol yim lekena ben milamayla ben milamata. You would think you could do the melika on the top half or the bottom half of the mizbeach. No, Talmud Lomar u'molak v'hikdir. Therefore, the pasuk says he should do melika, and then immediately after that, it says that he should burn it, implying ma'ak torah b'rosh ha'mizbeach, ach melika b'rosh ha'mizbeach. Just like the burning, by definition, is going to be done. B'rosh means on the top of the mizbeach. So just like the haktorah has to be done on the top of the mizbeach, so the melika has to be done on top of the mizbeach. Now that we do have the machlokas rishonim that I was mentioning before. When we say the top of the mizbeach, do we mean literally the top on the actual top surface? So he's standing on the kohenim's walkway that surrounds the makom ha'arafa, or do we mean close to the top of the mizbeach, meaning that he's on the slave, he's on the upper half of the mizbeach, but he's three amos below the top of it?
We said just now that it wouldn't be respectful.
That we said before, that it wouldn't be respectful to stand on there and throw it in. So according to their understanding, according to their opinion, that it means that he's standing on the slover, that it would mean he'd have to come down from the slover, holding the head, go to the top of the mizbeach, using the main kevesh, and then throw it in, and then put it in the salt and throw it in, and then repeat the same thing, with the body, right? According to the opinion that he's doing it on the top of the mizbeach to begin with, then he's there the whole time. Then the pasuk continues. Then the braisa continues. Molach, when it says that he does the melika, that means mimul oref. It means he does it from the back of the neck. So after I mean mimul oref
means
molach. No. We're gonna see how the pasuk says molach. We have to figure. The braisa is telling us you should know where is melika done on the back of the neck. Now we have to figure out how we know that after I mean mimul oref. This whole braisa is for Torah Koyanim. This is as usual. The Torah Koyanim takes the pasuk and analyzes it phrase by phrase to see how we learn the halachas from it. Okay, so molach means mimul oref, and that's a very common thing in Torah Koyanim, that it'll tell us that this is the din, and now here's how we derive it from the word. So after omer mimul oref, you're saying that it means that you do melika from the back of the neck, or ein elam yachsaver, maybe it means from the front of the neck, like shita.
Tavar is the front?
Tavar is the front of the neck, yeah.
Do you know what to the lateral part of the neck?
Not specifically, no. Not that I know of, anyway. Okay. So it's like this. The Jinhu, we can learn it by Deva Shabba. Nema Kanul Moloch, Nema Lahalun Moloch, by the Ola, it says that you do Malika. By the Ola, it says you do Malika. By the Chathas, it also says, Nema Lahalun Moloch. By the Chathas, it also says a Moloch. And there it spells out, it says, Moloch es Roshe Mimul Orkoi, so therefore, Malahal Mimul Orkoi, Pachan Mimul Orkoi. So just like over there, it means the back of the neck. So here also, it means the back of the neck.
Over there, it says what?
Over there, it clearly says, Moloch es Roshe Mimul Orkoi.
So
therefore,
one second. If you say, Moloch
Mimul Orkoi, means the back of the neck.
Yeah, but that could imply that you could do it somewhere else. In this situation.
No. Once it says, Moloch Asuration, Mimul Orkoi, we learn from that by Xeda Shoga or by Mamasino or whatever, that Malika means yes. E Malahalan Moloch Veinim Abdel Akan Moloch Veinim Abdel. Well, if you're going to learn that way, if you're going to learn from Xeda Shoga, then you should carry it all the way through. You should say, just like by the Chasas, you don't divide the head from the body. Again, according to Rashi, that meant that you don't cut through both simonim, that's only the one. And according to the Rambam, that you can cut through both simonim, you just can't separate the head from the body. Afkan moilas ve'inim abdil. Maybe by the Ola, the same thing. You do the Malika and don't divide the head from the body. How do you know otherwise? Tamad lema ummolak v'hikyu. Therefore, we go back to the psukim by the Ola, where it says that he does Malika, and then it says he burns, and then it says he burns it on the mizbeach.
The point is actually
we're gonna see the next thing in the braita is gonna be that the pasuk by the Olaf the Oif twice mentions burning it. The pasuk says he does Malika and he moilak the head and burns it on the Mizbeach, the Nimsa Dama Akir Mizbeach, the Hater of Morocco, etc., and then the Hichtir Oisei Akoyin, and the Koyin burns. So the fact that the bright is, and I say in a minute, the fact that it says twice Akhtara implies that the head and the body are burnt separately. So Moloch the Hichtir, Mahak Torah Harosh La'asme V'aguf La'asme, just like when it comes to burning them, you have the head and the body separately. The same thing. When it comes to the Malika, also it has to be that the head and the body end up as two separate things. Yeah, that's the word. Akhtara means literally to make smoke from it. That's the normal word for burning things as korbanos. One thing is also we'll see as we get further into the Masechta that we use the word Haftarah in general when we mean burning something the way a korban is supposed to be burnt. On the fire on top of the mizbeach, as opposed to we often use the word srefa to mean when you're burning it because it became possible, or otherwise when you're burning it off the mizbeach elsewhere in the azara or outside. Akhtara means specifically, yeah, the hikter oisei akoyin mizbeach or other such expressions that it says throughout parashas Vayikra and Tzav. Yeah, I mean so to burn it in the smoke of the mizbeach. Okay. Okay, new, you're saying that we learn from the Haktorah, that from the Malika, therefore, has to be that you separate them. How, Taka, do you know that the burning of the head and the body are done separately? So like this, Shanema Vehikdiroi, because the Pasuk says after the Malika, it says it says Vehikdiroi, so it says he burns it, implying Harei Haktorah Sagupamora, that's talking about burning the body. Hamani Machain, the Hikdir on the Mizbeach. So when it says two psukim earlier that he burns it on the Mizbeach, Vaktarah Sarosh Akos in the Dabur. The Pasuk therefore has to be talking about burning the head. So therefore we see that when it comes to the burning, the head and the body of the bird are separate. Otherwise it would just say it once, and therefore so when it comes to the Malika, same thing. So even though we have the Zera Shava from Malika of Chathas, we use that Zera Shava only to teach us that the concept that Malika takes place on the same part of the neck. We don't use it to say that the head should not be divided from the body like it is by a chata, because that would contradict the implication that we learn over here from the Haktara and then from the Hekesh between Moloch and Vehik. Okay. Next, the Braitha continues. The Pasuk says over there, the Nimsa Domoi, the Pasuk says blood should be squeezed out, implying Kuloi, all of it. So it's, that's right. Well, in the case of an Ola, you have to do this. So we said in our Mishnah that with an Ola, Mitzah is the thing that has to be done. That is how the blood goes onto the Mizbeach by an Ola, is through Mitzah. It's by the Chasas that you have two different things. Then you have Hazar from a distance, and then you have Mitzah pressing it again. And there we have the discussion, is Mitzah not acted by the Chasas? By the Ola, Mitzah is the way to go. The Nimsa Domayakir and Mizbeach, the Pasuk says. Spinola just says mystery.
And that's the only thing,
yeah.
The only thing you do buy
a Spinola. Spinola, right. As opposed to by the Chassos, it says, the Hizomi Domai Akinam is the after you should squeeze the squirt from its blood onto the wall on the Zbeach. And Nishab Adami Mosel Yesodam Zbeach. And the remainder of the blood should trickle down to the Yesodam Zbeach. So there you have two different things. Hazar and Mitzvah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Okay, so now returning to the Braisa, returning to the Olam, and Nimsa Dhamma, you should squeeze out the blood, implying Kuloi, meaning all of it as much as possible. Because otherwise, it actually says, otherwise it would have said Nimsa Mi Dhamma. So the fact that it says Dhamma means it's supposed to be as much of it as possible. When it says Al Kiram is Be'ach, what does it disagree about? Tosfos does mention that in the case of a Chassos, you don't necessarily need Dhamma Kuloi, because the difference is, Tosfos says, by the Chassos in the previous Mishnah, we didn't say that you have to press it against the Mizbeach. It just said that you do mazami dama akira mizbeach, shiria domain masnacht ala yisod. It didn't say anything about pressing it against the wall of the Mizbeach to extract as much of the blood as possible. But by a Chassos, apparently Tosfos says you don't need to. By an Ola, you do. When it says Al-Kira Mizbeach, to the wall of the Mizbeach, that means V'loy Al-Kira Kevesh, it should not be done on the wall of the ramp of the Mizbeach, or anything else. V'loy Al-Kira Heichel, it shouldn't be on the wall of the Heichel, or the wall of the Ulam, as the Shittim Mokabeth has had. So it has to be Dafka on the wall of the Mizbeach. The Ezer's there, which wall are we talking about? Zakira Elyon, this means the wall of the upper half of the Mizbeach. Again, the opposite of the Chassos, where we said it's done on the lower half. After Oyim, the Zekira Oyim means the upper half. Oyim, as opposed to the Chassid, as opposed to the Chassid, so it's on the lower half. Oyim, Eina, Elakira, Tachsin, so maybe not, maybe it means that the blood of the Oyloth, the Oyloth goes on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, the Dinu, and you would think to make a Kavachomer, Ma Behemesh, a Chatosal Amaila, Oyloth, in the case of animals, a Chassid Behemoth, the blood goes on the top half. And yes, an ola, and most other korbanos of animals, the blood goes on the bottom half. The oif shechatos yilamayla, an oif, which apparently is of a lesser standing, because the blood, even if a chatos oif goes on the bottom half, ain't a jinsha olos yilamata. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that the olos oif also goes on the bottom half? No. Talmud Lima, umolach v'hik yiv nimsa damay. No, we have to look back, because the chatos oif is on the bottom, unlike the chatos behemoth, which is on the top. So you would think, how much more so, if the Olaf behemoth is on the bottom, how much more so the Olaf for Oib should be on the bottom? So no, Talmud Lama or Molach, the Hichtiv and Nimsa Dhamma. No, we have to look back at the order of things that it says in the Pasuk. It says he does Malika, he burns the head, and its blood is squeezed out. And what do you mean? It can't be in that order. You can't have after you burn the head, you're going to go squeeze blood out of it. Ella, loy malach, so why is the pasuk telling you the directions in that order? Ella loy malach, so it comes to teach you. Ma haktara b'roish ha-mizbeach, just like the burning of the head by definition has to be on top of the mizbeach, because that's where you burn things. Ach mitzui b'roish ha-mizbeach, therefore also the mitzui, the squeezing out of the blood, has to be on the top half of the mizbeach. Okay, so how does it work? He goes up the kevish, he turns into the seven, or bolo the kenzurim is mizrachas, he comes to the south eastern corner, he does the malika on the back of the neck, or majil, he separates the head from the body, and he squeezes out the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. Now, he's standing on the seven, remember. He's standing on the soviv, and we saw before that the soviv is actually one amma above the midpoint of the mizbeach. In this picture over here, you have there's a decorative band that runs right below the soviv, and at the bottom of that band, you have, in the original, I guess it would have been red, a red line that runs around the middle of the mizbeach, the chut ha-sikra that divides the bottom half from the top half. So now the kohen is standing on the soviv over here, like where the kohen is standing here in the picture. There's actually one amma below where he's standing, which is still part of the top half of the mizbeach. He could, if he wants, do the mitzvah in that amma, even though it's below his feet. So that's exactly it. He could be standing on the soviv, and he could be reaching down, he could be bending down and reaching down and do it in this one amma band over here, because that's still above the top half of the mizbeach. So exactly that. If he does it even if he does it up to one amma below his feet, Shayla, then it's kosher, because it's still the top half of the van. He might fall, that's his problem, but if he wants to do that, then he can do that. Okay, that's one opinion. Reb Nechemia, Reb Elezer, Ben Yaakov, Oymerim, Kol Asma, Ein Nasus, Ela B'Rosh HaMizbeah. Actually, this is what I was mentioning before, that you have a machloikas, it's not a machloikas Roshonim, it's a machloikas Tanoim, actually, right here, is the Oylof Ba'oif done on the top of the Mizbeah, literally the top surface, or is it done standing on the Soviv? All this time, we've been assuming that you stand on the Soviv, but here we're saying that Reb Nechemia and Reb Elezer, Ben Yaakov say, Kol Asma, Ein Nasus, Ela B'Rosh HaMizbeah. The entire avoida of the Oylof Ba'oif is done literally on top of the Mizbeah. Not on the cliff. Rosh HaMizbeah means on the platform, right, on the flat surface of the cliff. That is the one, but also you have at least, there's at least two Rav Elezer Ben Yaakov, so which one the rule of Kavanah applies to, but anyway, it only applies in Mishnah. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, my binai, what's the underlying machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Elezer Ben Yaakov? After all, Rashi points out, even the Tanakhama agrees that it has to be close to the top of the Mizbeach because of the Hekesh that we said between the Nimsa and between the Nimsa and the Hekesh.
So we're clear.
Fine, but so,
one says you do it in the seven, the other one.
I understand, but what the Gemara is asking, what's the underlying machlokas? Why are they arguing about that? Given that the Tanakhama agrees it has to be near the top of the Mizbeach because of the Hekesh v'nimsa v'hikdir, the Rav Elezer Ben Yaakov and Rav Nechemia are taking that at face value. It means the Akhtara is actually on the top surface of the Mizbeach. Therefore, the mitzvah has to be done there also. But where is the Tanakhama getting the idea that you stand on the Sogim to be almost below the top of the Mizbeach? Abaya v'Rava, Dami Tamayos, Abaya and Rava both answer, Oysama Rocha Agave Sogim Ikebinai. The underlying machlokas between them is, well, actually it is a nakamina. Would you be able to, if you wanted, make a pile of wood right there on the sovid and burn things on it? The Tanakhama hold you could. You don't have to have, like this, normally the fire of the Mizbeach is on the top surface, but you don't have to. The Tanakhama learns that you could, conceivably, if you wanted, make a small pile of wood right there on the sovid and burn things. That would be a valid place to burn kavanas. Therefore, the Tanakhama says, fine, you're standing on the service, then fine, you're doing the mystery right next to the place where you're burning it, because you could conceivably burn it on the service. So therefore, you have a couple of amas above the service as well as one amma below it is all considered adjacent to the service. Where's Reb Nechemia? And Reb Elezer Ben Yaakov hold no such thing. The only place for fire is on the Mizbeach is on the top of the Mizbeach. Therefore, you have to do the mystery on Rosh HaMizbeach. Nothing about standing on the Mizbeach. You have to be standing on the top of the Mizbeach. Alright, now getting back to, so that Braisa gave us all the, this that we said in the Mishnah, all the details of how the Avodah of the Olah Fa'uf is done. Now we understand from this Braisa how we see them all from the Sukkim that described over there, the procedure for the Olah Fa'uf. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Bolo L'Guf Kolo, we said that now once he's finished burning the head on the Mizbeach, then he takes the body of the bird and takes out the Mura, etc. So let's learn the details about that. Turn it up on him, we learn it in Braisa. When the Pasuk says Behesrius Murasa Ibn Aisasa, he should take out the Mura together with its Noisa, Zuzdefek. The word Mura means the crop. The pouch over there inside the net. Okay. Yocho Yachtu Vesakin Vieslanu. He would think, okay, what it means is therefore you cut into the skin and you take out only the Zefek. You take out only that pouch. No skin above it, no feathers above it. Rashi described, by the way, when you're preparing a chicken or any other kind of bird to roast, you do that. You don't cut off the skin above the zephyr. You just cut out the zephyr itself and then do whatever with it, and then you keep the rest of the neck intact.
You never get a zephyr when you buy a bird.
Well, no, not nowadays, but then. The truth is, I mean, I don't know even actually if chickens have a zephyr. The zephyr is one. I don't know.
I don't know that they have.
The Zephyr is one of the four simonim of a kosher bird, which we'll learn about in the colon eventually, Bez Hashem, but not all kosher birds have to have all four simonim. The Gemara discusses over there that some kosher birds have all four, some have only three, some have only two, so I'm not sure if necessarily chickens or any other common birds that we eat have a Zephyr, but okay, whatever. Okay, so Yoko Yakiva Sakin Vietlano, you would think that you should just cut out and take out only the Zephyr without any of the skin or feathers above it. No, camel dung, but it's fossa. No, therefore the fossa says that you take it with its nosa, and nosa means feathers. Nosa also nosa ima means you take off the feathers that are on that part of the neck, above the outside of the zest. No, in other words, what he does is he doesn't just cut into the neck and pull out the zephyr. What he does is he cuts out like a window sort of in the, he cuts out like a hole in the neck and takes out the zephyr as well as the skin and the feathers that are with it. No. He cuts a hole, including the skin and the feathers, and then through that hole he pulls out the zephyr.
And before we thought what?
Before we thought that maybe just you pull out only the zephyr and leave the skin and the feathers and leave the skin and the feathers. Well, you cut a sloth. You pull out the zephyr and then that's it. So, yeah. No, you actually cut out. Yeah.
A chicken and a turkey have a cross. Geese do not have a cross.
Okay.
So what does
geese? Geese. So an example of a kosher bird that don't have cross. Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. Aber Yosef ben Chanan Omer Noitlo ben Noitlo Kukuvana Ima. Aber Yosef ben Chanan says actually what you do is you take the zefek and along with it you take the kukuvan, which is the stomach, the pupik of the chicken. Yeah. The point is Rashi says Aber Yosef ben Chanan is understanding the word noitsosa differently. Till now we were saying the word noitsosa means its feathers, meaning the feathers that are on the part of the neck where the zefek. Abba Yosef ben Chanan is understanding the word nosa actually means the disgusting thing. And he brings from a, Rashi brings from a pasuk in Eicha, he not to damno, where we see that the word nosa can have that meaning. So therefore it means the stomach, which is full of half-digested food, the disgusting thing. So therefore it means, in other words, so according to this, it means Abba Yosef ben Chanan is saying you don't take off the skin and the feathers together with the zephyr. You do pull out only the zephyr, but not only the zephyr, the rest of the digestive tract that comes with it. That's attached to it. Tvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana and the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught. V'neitzasa means v'neitza shalah. It does mean with its noses, it does mean with its feathers, but only the exact feathers that are above the zephyr. Kodra Rabbi Sakin k'min aruma. What it means is you have to cut carefully, like a window, the exact shape of the zephyr, of the zephyr, and then pull out the zephyr and along with the feathers that are directly above it. Okay, you have
called a cropping.
It's called cropping, that's right.
What's the use of it?
As I mentioned before, the bird starts digesting
they
food.
It swallows
things whole and then starts digesting
it. They swallow rock.
Yeah.
They hold it in the...
No, that's only, you know, only some birds do.
Only some birds.
For example, no.
But they swallow sand.
Okay, no, partial bird done. No, you have... You have certain birds, ostriches, for example, that eat swallow rocks and other such things, and they use that to grind up the food in their stomachs. No, the birds that have a crop, what they do is the food gets stored in the crop and it starts getting broken down in there by digestive juices or whatever it is. I don't know. And then eventually later on, it goes out of there and it travels further down the esophagus to the stomach and then gets fully digested.
So it's like chewing your
mouth. So in a sense, it's like, There is some discussion. Our Mishnah had used the expression that you take out the mura and the noitza and the bnei me'ayin. So what does that mean? On the face of it, that seems like a combination of a couple of different opinions over here. Because only Abba Yosef ben Chanan is saying that you take out the kurkavan as well. The other two opinions in the Braisa were just saying that you take out the feathers. So it sounds like you're combining together two different opinions. The one way of looking at it is that yes, the mish is that Abba Yosef ben Chanan means not. He says, in other words, the word noita, according to him, may have a double meaning. It means the pupik, it means the kurkavan, and it also means the feathers. So it means therefore you end up with everything: the zephek and the kurkavan and all the kishkis that come along with it, as well as the feathers that are above the zephek.
I understand that it's all attached, but when you pull it out.
Well, that's the point. Right, again, but according to Tana Veda Bishmol, you would actually cut it out.
Cut it out just
the zephyr. No, but then you pull out only the zephyr. But according to Abba Yosef ben Chanan, in other words, the idea is if we say that our mission goes like him, then it would mean that you cut a hole over there, you pull out, you take off the feathers, you take off the skin, then you take off then you start pulling out the zephyr and whatever else comes with it, the whole digestive system. And including the kurkavan, and you throw that whole thing to the Makom HaGeshem. And that is in fact how the Rambam Paskin
says. And that is a pitcher down to the home.
Like, yeah, whatever. Okay, only if you're doing it from the opposite corner, if you're doing it from the same,
right.
If you're doing it from the south corner.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
The reason, by the way, why the Medrash, the Medrash, but Yisro Rava mentions, and Rashi brings it on the positive, why Taka do you cut out the Zephyr, etc. And the reason is because unlike this, when it comes to animal carbonates, you're only bringing domestic animals. So you raise them on your farm. You feed them. They don't just go forage for themselves. You feed them food. Therefore, there's no problem. The whole thing can go on the Mizbeach. As opposed to birds are not necessarily completely domesticated. They're feral. They fly around as wherever they want. And therefore, they often end up eating from stuff that belongs to other people. So from Gezel. Hashem says, I don't want Gezel on the Mizbeach. Therefore, he created them this way, but it's meant as a lesson for us that we need to be careful that not even a trace of Gezel gets into things of Sturgeon. Obviously, I don't. But the point is that we're not blaming the bird. We're saying that the reason why to do that is to be a lesson for us. The whole concept of carbonus is meant one idea, but it's meant to be a lesson for us. We should realize that the same thing should have happened to us, but it's happening to them.
To have the Dean of Gezel, you have to have the Kahana, right? You understand it.
The point still remains that a bird is taking things that don't belong to its owner. It doesn't know better, granted, but nevertheless. Yeah. Okay.
But can you say a cotton or a shirt has a deal of data?
Set a shirt of a cotton to be off and raw, we're told in Babakama. If a child does a nezik or whatever, then they're positive because they don't have that. So when they're older, they should do something about it. But they're not required to
have that. Can you tell us the story about the healing?
I don't remember it myself.
Okay.
Onward. She stabbed his Gil. Then he bisects, as you said before. He breaks the body of the bird into two. Veloyh his Gil, but he doesn't divide it necessarily. He doesn't divide it into two separate pieces. Thomas, turn it up on him. We learn it in a bright. So what does this word Vishisa mean? The en shita el biyad. The word shita or shisua means specifically breaking something apart with the hand. It means that, so we're not talking about that you take a knife and cut it in half. We're talking about that he breaks it in half with his hand. And so we find by Shimshon, where you have the story over there where Shimshon is on his way to Tivna to marry the Plishti girl over there, maybe the Gaia, whatever. Anyway, so the lion comes about to attack him, and by Shaseo Kishasagdi, he rips it apart like he rips apart the lion like he might rip apart a kid goat.
And therefore,
so we see that from that, the word Vayishaseihu means that he ripped it apart with his bare hand, because the Pasuk specifically says over there that Uma Ein B'yadi, he had nothing in his hand, and therefore that's what Shisua means.
Okay.
Oh, that's spot on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it means like the way a lion, would rip apart a kid goes. I don't know. Whatever it is, yeah. I know. Bechal, I mean, every time, almost every time that Shimshon did something powerful, it says, you have the expression, Batit Lachal of Ruach Hashem, or words to that effect, that a special spirit of Hashem came upon him, and all of a sudden he was able to do these tremendously strong things. It's not like he was necessarily a naturally strong person in and of himself. Actually, the Gemara tells us in its Sota that he was actually lame in both legs. Because when he needed to, Hashem gave him the power,
Okay. What did you say that?
Yeah,
Hashem likes to make a point.
Yeah, in such a
you think it's Hashem.
Yeah. Okay. And by the way, when the prophet says Vishita Oisa Biknofov, so it has actually a double meaning. The word Vishita Oisa Biknofov, Rashi on the prophet says it means that he breaks it apart. The word knuffa has a double meaning. It means wings, it can also mean feathers. So therefore, Tarashi says it means he keeps the feathers on it. The Ramban over there discusses that no, it means, and based on our Mishnah over here, that it means it breaks it on the body between the wings. And Rashi on the Mishnah said similarly, that it means he breaks it along the length of the body between the wings. But you still have the point that Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, that what it means is when you're going and being makriv the body of the bird, you're not taking off the feathers first. And Rashi brings, it's also in the Medrash over there, also in Vayikra Rabba, that one of the worst smells is burning feathers. So why are we leaving the feathers on the guy's turban instead of taking it off before throwing it on the mizbeach? The reason is because who usually brings a bird or a turban? A poor person, a rich person to afford an animal. Hashem says, I want the poor person's turban to look as big and important as possible. Let it have the feathers on it. Let it smell bad. Doesn't matter. It looks bigger and more important. They would, and if it was an animal, they would also smell it. I don't think that makes a difference. But I'd say it's not like I necessarily know who particularly gave it.
The poor person wants to see that.
Like this, you see that it's the curve that something big is being thrown into the fire. Okay, I think maybe we'll end off a little early now because otherwise we're going to be in the middle. Otherwise we're going to be in the middle of Sylvia. So we may as well leave it for tomorrow.
I think the Halakha portion goes like this.
Yeah.
There was a Rav and there was a student. There was a Rav and there was a student. The Korkuban and the heart, one of them is Bakul Hashishim, one of them is not Bakul Hashishim. We're going to get to it
And
he knew everything inside and out except exactly how the size and how it all, and what it even looked like. And so the Rav showed him, no, here's the Korkuban. Oh, that's what it looks like. The Halakha Korkuban. He's learning so much, and to him, it's like just Kedusha. That's the whole joke, you know. You have to get more practical.
But actually, it's not really such a joke, actually, because, you know, for example, back in the early 1940s, during the war years, the Friedrich Rebbe had a journal published. It was a monthly called Akriyavak Dusha. The Sefer Ma'amarim Yiddish comes from Maimarim that were published in there. You had over there a number of other things about the history of Chassidus and about current events and all kinds of things in there. And there were also articles in it about Chassidus and about what Chassidus is meant to accomplish. At one point, the editor over there a fellow named Levitt, took a sicha of the Friedrich Rebbe and adapted it into an article, only apparently he didn't do a very good job, because he was discussing over there the concept that when you have, you're learning in the Gemara, for example, on Machlis Parah B'Chamur, the important thing is not so much the physical Parah and Chamur, the idea of it is, first of all, that you're learning, that first of all, there's the idea that Chochmah the Rishon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also on top of that, you have that Machlis Parah B'Chamur actually represents concepts in Avodah Hashem. It's not just a down-to-earth halacha, but it represents concepts in Avodah as well. This editor miswrote it as if to say, like, the actual learning of the concept itself is not important, only the idea of Avodah behind it, and it caused a huge firestorm at the time. But there is still the basic underlying idea that, yeah, it's not the physical Parah and the physical Chamur that are the important thing. It's the fact that they embody in the discussion of them, the Chochmah Seir Tzayin, the Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Torah and the whole discussion about exchanging one for the other. So yeah, it's similar to this idea about the Korkuban. That's not the physical Korkuban, it's not the important thing, but the fact that it's the embodiment of something that we learn about in the Halacha, or something that we learn about as part of Torah.
Well, it's cold. You still have to know what it looks like in order to have the right Halacha.
This is also true.